You're listening to WWBC 1510 AM 94.7 FM, the Christian voice of Brevard.
Welcome to WGOD Radio, the radio ministry of Island Community Church. Your host for WGOD Radio is Bible teacher and translator Pastor Paul Esposito, senior pastor of Island Community Church, located in Merritt Island, Florida. And now here for today's program is Pastor Paul.
Welcome back once again to WGOD Radio, all truth, all the time. This is your host and speaker for this program. I am Pastor Paul Esposito, along with my associate pastor, Darren Solana. We greet you here today. Thank you for joining us here on this Thursday. God bless you. One day closer here to the weekend. Thank you for spending 30 minutes of your Thursday here with us. We're going to get into the Word of God. There's no greater thing to do on this day or any day to soak in the Word of God. I guarantee you it'll bless you. It'll help you get through all of the daily trials in life. And I'm grateful for you for taking the time to tune in here today. We're tuning into God's frequency here today, hence the name of this radio program, WGOD. If I owned a station, those would be the call letters. Because God is always broadcasting. We're going to hear some awesome things here from Him today. We're going to look now. Remember, it's the Holy Spirit. Remember, holy men of God, Peter himself will say in his own epistle, holy men of God spoke as they were moved by the Holy Spirit. And this includes himself. Here in the book of Acts, this is his second sermon. He's going to say we're seeing it's the Holy Spirit speaking through him. Peter's going to say, but you denied the Holy One, and you asked for a murderer to be granted to you. Now, isn't that a case of the pot calling the kettle black? Peter accused them of denying the Lord. How about him? You see, it's not Peter speaking here. It's the Holy Spirit speaking through Peter. That's how he can say this and not be a hypocrite, because holy men of God spoke as they're being moved by the Holy Spirit. And the same thing with your pastor at your church as well. That's how sometimes I can sit and listen to a sermon that I've preached before and learn something or receive something, because God's promised that he is the one who speaks through us. We're the mouthpiece, the preacher speaking the word of God. These are some of the things that Peter said here. And he also said, and his name, through faith in his name, has made this man strong. It's right from God, right to you today. The name of Jesus, and otherwise everyone would receive, but faith in his name has made this man strong. Words from God for you today. Thanks for joining us here. Let's hear a whole lot more words from God now. We're in the third chapter of the book of Acts. Love to see you guys this Sunday morning. We'll be in the fourth chapter of the book of Acts. Now, as the lame man who was healed held on to Peter and John, all the people ran together to them in the porch, which is called Solomon's, greatly amazed. So when Peter saw it, he responded to the people, "Men of Israel, why do you marvel at this? Or why look so intently at us, as though by our own power or godliness we had made this man walk?" So Peter's saying, "What are you looking at me for? I didn't do anything. It's Jesus. There is power in his name. Lest we forget, if you are a believer, there's power in the name of Jesus." We're so busy in our daily lives, sometimes we forget that. It's not me. What are you looking at me for? It's the name of Jesus and belief in his name. Otherwise, everyone would be healed, right? The belief in his name. The name of Jesus slays dragons. This is why his name is hated by people and devils everywhere. Why they used to make kids put book wrappers around their Bibles at school. Because of the name of Jesus. and the spiritual warfare going on out here. Who's your daddy? Do you love the name of Jesus? Later on in the book of Acts, we're going to read of some Jewish guys that tried to invoke the name of Jesus while not having a personal relationship with him. Let me read that to you. That comes out of the book of Acts, chapter 19, verse 11. You don't have to turn there. You can if you like. Just a few pages over. Acts chapter 19, verse 11. Otherwise, everyone's going to get out of here at 25 after 11 today, and we can't have that happen. Better cue up that song, Whiting. Acts chapter 19, verse 11. Now, we're seeing the Holy Spirit work through Paul now. It started with Peter, the first 10 chapters working through Peter. Now chapters 11 through 28, the Holy Spirit's working through Paul. So, now God worked unusual miracles by the hand of Paul, so that even handkerchiefs or aprons were brought from his body to the sick. And the diseases left them, and the evil spirits went out of them. Then some of the itinerant Jewish exorcists took it upon themselves to call on the name of the Lord Jesus over those evil spirits. And they said, "We exorcise you by the Jesus that Paul preaches." In other words, we're going to cast out demons by that Jesus guy that he keeps talking about over there. It doesn't work that way. Verse 14, there were also seven sons of Sceva, a Jewish chief priest who did so. And the evil spirit answered and said, quote, "Jesus I know, and Paul I know, but who are you?" Things you never want to hear from a devil, part one. Jesus, yeah, I know him. And then Paul, I know, different Greek word, it means I'm acquainted with. Jesus I know intimately. Paul, yeah, I'm acquainted with him. That's the one kicking demonic fanny all over Asia. But who are you? Then the man in whom the evil spirit was leaped on them, overpowered them, and prevailed against them so that they fled. So that the NIV says he gave them such a beating that they fled out of that house naked and wounded. Boy, can't you just picture that? Seven naked ministers running out of this house for dear life for trying to cast out devils or a demon when you're not a Christian. Jesus I know, and Paul I know, but who are you? So my point is, the name of Jesus is not some secret elixir or a lucky charm or an amulet, but the name of Jesus rules supreme in the spiritual world. Remember, I've set before you an open door that no demon from hell can shut. For the believer in Jesus Christ, there is power in the name of Jesus. And you carry and walk in that authority. That's the dirty little secret here this morning on this March, what day is today? 16th, 15th, 17th, 18th, 19th, 20th. Pick your day. It's the dirty little secret the devil doesn't want you to know. You carry around with you the authority. This is how you can chase demons out of your house at 3 o'clock in the morning when they're tormenting you. In the name, not my name, but in the name of Jesus. There's power in the name of Jesus. But he's got to be the Lord your God. Not the Lord my God. That's not going to help you. That'll help me, but not you. He's got to be the Lord your God. Now let's get back to Peter's sermon here. So when Peter saw it, again, verse 12, Acts 3:12. When Peter saw it, he responded to the people. He said, "Men of Israel, why do you marvel at this? Why do you look so intently at us, as though by our own power or godliness we made this man walk? The God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, the God of our fathers, glorified his servant Jesus, who you delivered and denied in the presence of Pilate, when he was determined to let him go. All right, so here's my proof that men did not write the Bible on their own. Hear me now. This is not Peter speaking. This is God speaking through Peter. Okay? You're hearing God speaking through Peter. Look, Peter just accused them of denying the Son of God. Really? I mean, talk about the pot calling the kettle black. Where was he a couple weeks earlier? He's going to say to them, you guys denied him? Man, I could never say that. It's not Peter speaking. God is speaking through him. Peter wrote the playbook for how to deny the Son of God. Yet he's calling these guys out for it. Peter cursed and said he's never heard of Jesus. And now he's accusing these guys of denying him. So again, it's not Peter speaking. The Lord is speaking through him. The Holy Spirit lives inside of Peter, just like he lives on the inside of you as well. He does the same thing here all the time. You know, I love to follow Pastor Darren around after he's preached, and I'll sneak up behind him at the door. And I listen, and I hear it from all of you. You know what I hear everyone say to him? I feel like you were just speaking to me today. Am I right? And I love to hear that because it's not him speaking. It's the Holy Spirit speaking through him. Lord willing, I certainly hope you guys will say the same thing about me as well. You know, when you go home and sit around lunch, you know, it's like, I feel like that pastor was reading my mail. Because you guys pay to have pastors here who connect with God and who are in tune with God and who, when they get up here and speak, you're hearing the Lord speak through them. Verse 14, he's going to accuse them a second time of denying him. But you denied the Holy One and the just, and you asked for a murderer to be granted to you, and you killed the Prince of Life. Ouch! Man, that must have just cut to the heart. You killed the Prince of Life, whom God raised up from the dead, of which we are all eyewitnesses. Wow, what a convicting sermon this is. Just like the one delivered on Pentecost. You people killed the Prince of Life, the one true author of eternal life. You guys killed him. You guys denied him. Verse 16, and his name, through faith in his name, has made this man strong, whom you see and know. Did you hear that? His name has healed this man. And faith in his name. The name of Jesus rules. It's the name above all names. His name made this man strong. And faith in his name. I mean, there's power in his name, but he still's got to be the Lord, your God. Faith in his name. This is what the Holy Spirit is saying here. It's the name of Jesus healed this man. And faith in his name. Faith in his name. Now keep listening and reading. Remember, it's not Peter speaking. It's the Holy Spirit who only tells us what he hears from the Son. That's John 16, 14. When the Holy Spirit only tells you what he hears from the Son. The Holy Spirit is telling you not only how to have eternal life and where your faith originates, but how this man was healed. His name, through faith in his name, has made this man strong, whom you see and know. Yes, all right, he's not done. Yes, the faith which comes through him. Where does your faith come from? From him. It's not your own. Look, your faith is a gift. We read in Ephesians 2 and 8, for by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast about it. Your faith has come from him. He has given it to you. You're spring-loaded with it. Some are walking around with it for years, and they're not believers yet. And they're waiting for you to come along. Light that match. Light the fuse inside someone else, and then watch them take off. Our faith is a gift. Listen to what he says here. Yes, the faith which comes through him, or you could say which comes by him, has given to him this perfect soundness in the presence of you all. Yet now, brethren, I know that you did it in ignorance, as did also your rulers. But those things which God foretold by the mouth of all of his prophets, that the Christ would suffer, he has thus fulfilled. All right, so once again, Peter's preaching cuts them like a knife. You could pretty much throw in right here, though it's not written, you could throw in another, men and brethren, what shall we do? Because here comes Peter's solution of where do we go from here? Verse 19. Though they didn't ask the question, all right, you've got me. Same as what he said on the day of Pentecost. You guys remember that? You guys killed the Son of God. And they said, all right, you've got me. What do we do? So that's just assumed here, though it's not in the text. Verse 19, Peter says, repent therefore, and what's it say? Right, be converted. Epistrepho is the word. Not the word that you think. Strepho means, it means to turn. To turn away, or to turn around, or turn to. Not being born again, really. It's not what that word means. So repent and be converted so that your sins may be blotted out. So that times of refreshing may come from the presence of the Lord. Notice this time the formula is a little bit different, at least regarding his response. In the other sermon, he said to them, repent and be baptized, remember? Here he just says, repent and be converted so that your sins may be blotted out. And again, this word is epistrepho, which means to turn around, turn toward, or turn to the worship of the one true God instead of yourself. Instead of worshiping yourself like you have been, turn to the one true God and worship him. Because other than that, everyone worships himself. Everybody. Look out, what's that old saying? I'm going to look out for who? Number one, right? Well, he's number one. He's number one. And if you're married, your wife or husband is number two. And then you're last in that equation. If you serve yourself, you'll never survive. You can't. I mean, Satan's got you pegged. Skin for skin. All that a man has, he will give for his life. If you serve yourself, you'll never survive. You've got to turn from that. You've got to have a change here. You've got to serve him. You can't serve yourself and survive. You'll never make it at crunch time. You'll never make it at crunch time. Matthew chapter 24, it says that many then will be offended and turn away from the faith. Maybe you'll be lucky and God will take you out before that happens. But you'll never survive serving yourself. You just can't do it. Turn to the worship of the one true God so that your sins may be utterly wrecked and destroyed and obliterated. I'll take some of that. How about you? Matter of fact, I'll take a lot of that. How about you? Matter of fact, I'll take all of that. How about you? You know, I don't know about you guys, but I'm sick and tired of sin. How about you? So repent and turn to him. So repent, turn around, and receive Jesus, as opposed to apologize, my bad, and then all things remain the same, just like they were. That's not what repent means. You don't say to God, my bad, and keep doing what you were doing. It means to turn. It means you leave this emoji behind and go in the other direction. That's what the word means. Figure that's the polite way of saying that. And have your sins obliterated. Now, God says this, Hebrews chapter 8, verse 8. He says, behold, the days are coming. Now, unbeknownst to them, that day is right here and now, the birth of the church. He says, behold, the days are coming, says the Lord, when I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and the house of Judah, not according to the covenant I made with their fathers in the day when I took them by the hand, led them out of Egypt, because they did not continue in my covenant, and I disregarded them, says the Lord. For this is the covenant I will make with the house of Israel after those days, says the Lord. I will put my laws in their mind. I'll write them on their hearts. I will be their God, and they will be my people. None of them will teach his neighbor, and none his brother, saying, know the Lord. For they all will know me, from the least of them to the greatest of them. I will be merciful to their unrighteousness and their sins and their lawless deeds. I will remember no more. Now that's a promise. And let God be true and every man a liar. That's some good news today. Turn from sin. Turn to him. Leave that junk behind. And God's promise is you here today, that he will have amnesia with your sins and won't remember them anymore. That's good news, isn't it? Peter continues, verse 20. And that he may send Jesus Christ, who was preached to you before, whom heaven must receive. Catch the little word next there. Until. Heaven must receive him. Until the times of restoration of all things, which God has spoken by the mouth of all of his holy prophets since the world began. So the time is coming when the Lord's going to make everything right. Heaven must receive him until he'll depart from there one more time. As for the times of restoration, Peter himself will write this in his own epistle here coming up. He's going to say in 2 Peter 3, nevertheless, we, according to his promise, we look for new heavens and a new earth in which righteousness dwells. God bless you. And heaven must receive the Lord Jesus back to his rightful place until he gets up from off of his throne and comes back again here to make everything right. I promise you, this is the true word of God. Now learn this parable from the fig tree. When its branch becomes tender and puts forth leaves, you know summer is near. So you too. When you see all of these things, recognize that he is near. Recognize that I am near, right at the door. What things? Well, like I started this sermon, living on Epstein Island, evil people selling and making slaves of children, pestilence running rampant like COVID, the love of many waxing cold, people being handed over to their own lifestyle, the government forcing you to receive vaccines in order to buy or sell, and the rebirth of the nation of Israel. Those are all signs that are happening right now. Jesus warns us, when you see all of these things, then recognize, smell the Maxwell House, church. Smell it. Recognize. He is near, even at the doors. Look around. The question is today, as always, are you ready for his return? I only got you guys for 1 hour out of 168. That's our message today. Are you ready for Jesus' return? So Christ was offered once for sins, once to bear the sins of many. And unto them that look for him, he will appear a second time without sin unto salvation. So I put it to you this morning that the Son of God is no longer sitting on his throne, but he's risen up. And once this last seat is taken by the last Gentile, then the door will be shut. I think in my next life, I'm going to be a movie producer. And that's going to be the first movie and the only movie I'm going to make. I'm going to call it The Last Gentile. What a great movie that would be. What a great spiritual truth is that if you're ever going to see a sign on the outside of heaven, the sign would say maximum capacity, like the outside of this door right here. It says 260. I'd love to see 260 people fit in here. You never know, right? One atom bomb here or there, and there'll be three services around here, right? Maximum capacity sign. Then the door will be shut, and the times of the Gentiles will be complete. So, we then, as workers together with him, the Apostle Paul writes, we then, as workers together with him, we plead with you not to receive the grace of God in vain. For he says, in an acceptable time I have heard you, and in the day of salvation I have helped you. Behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. Let's pray. Lord, we exalt you here this morning. Lord, we thank you for the truth of your word. Help us. Be with us. Lord, I pray too that for those that have yet to make that decision, that they would do that now, that they would truly turn and repent of their sins, leave them behind, and turn to you, the one true God, for salvation and eternal life. We pray your word back to you, that as many as call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. And we do that right now. We call on the name of Jesus Christ, just like you said, that for God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him would not perish, but have everlasting life. We believe in you. We believe in the name of Jesus. We receive you. We pray that you too, that you would have amnesia with our sins and remember them no more. Write our names in the book of life, and we take our seats here today in the kingdom. And we praise you now, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
You have been listening to WGOD Radio, the radio ministry of Island Community Church. You are cordially invited to attend one of our services at Island. We meet Wednesday evening at 6 p.m. for Bible study, and Sunday morning service starts at 10:30. Island Community Church is located at 1000 North Banana River Drive in Merritt Island. The church's email is islandcc1000@gmail.com. Join us again next time for WGOD Radio, all truth, all the time.
Welcome to Bible Q&A with John MacArthur. John's a pastor, Bible teacher, and author of the best-selling MacArthur New Testament Commentary Series. Well, let's take a step back and chart the spiritual course of America. A distinct pattern of sin emerges. Evolution has become the dominant worldview. People live as if God doesn't even exist. And even the destructive sin of homosexuality has become commonplace. Sounds a little like Romans chapter 1, where it says, God gave them over to impure lusts, degrading passions, and a depraved mind. Now, John, three times in that passage it says, God gave them over. What does that phrase mean, and what application is there for our nation today?
Well, the phrase, God gave them over, is actually a legal term that was used in the court to speak of a person who had been found guilty and was handed over for judgment. And that is exactly its meaning in Romans 1. This is God's judgment on nations. And what Romans 1 is describing happens over and over through all human history. Nations know the truth about God. People know the truth about God. They reject the truth about God. They create false gods. They live according to their lusts. And there's a sequence. First, sexual immorality.